believe, God, Father, in Jesus' name, for these folks over here that's standing. There are things that are deeply in their heart, and they've thought about them, and they think back and forth on, they go up and down and in and out, and they just want some things to work out, Father, things that only you can do, God, only you can do. See, so help us this evening, Father, help us to leave here with hope in Jesus' name that these things will work out. These things are going to work out in Jesus' name. Those of you that are standing, say, Father in heaven, I believe and declare you knew what was in my heart and you called me out this evening. And I've heard your promise and I believe these things I'm concerned about are going to work out. God bless you. You may be seated. Amen. 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 Mike, I want to share this with you. I feel like I've got this word for you. And if at any part it doesn't sound right, stop me. And we'll just stop right there. But this is the impetus in how you move in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You've got to go. It's a still small voice. It's not a big, loud, boisterous voice. But I believe the Lord is saying it to you, son. Some of the things you're going to, what they are, they just were going to happen. They just were going to happen. And there's changes in your life. But he said, if you'll trust me, and they're going to be good changes. They're not going to be bad changes. And things are going to work out in your behalf. And the verse that comes up to me is Romans 8:28 that says this. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, those according to his purpose. And does that seem to fit you tonight? Yeah, I believe that's for you. And I want somebody to pray for Mike. Some of my people here, get a microphone and come with me. And we're going to get some praying going on here. Follow me right up here with a microphone. Yeah, girls. On up. Dwayne, I want you to stand up. And I want to share with you this afternoon. Mike was on my heart all afternoon. And I just believe that what I shared with him is of the Lord. And he's got some, you just come on over here. And there's some changes in his life that are coming up. And, you know, some of these things at present seem heartbreaking. But we'll just have to, let's just see what happens. And I'm telling you, some years ago I met you, and you began to follow Christ. And that's a good thing. And you're doing with your family the best that you know how. And God has given you a wonderful wife. Come up here. Yeah, come up here. Because I'll tell you what I want you to do. I believe this word, the more I think about it, it's got to be for both of you. Because you're both, just come over here just a little bit. I think some of the things that has happened, the things that are, how do I say this, they're just, people has put you on a spot, on a bad spot, okay? And I want you to know that's not God's will. But, you know, people don't always do God's will. But I promise you, God's going to turn this around for you guys. Turn some things around. And there'll be a justification in that. Okay, take her by the hand, if you would. And whatever's happening with this mic, I can tell you this, I probably have too much sound on it. And it's hitting me over there, that feedback. You can lower me down because I can sure raise my voice if I have to. And Dwayne, what I want you to do, I want you to take this microphone. You heard what I said. You don't need any more than that. What you just heard, you see, the anointing is taught and the anointing is caught, okay? And I want you to, having said that, I want you to pray for these kinfolk of yours. Pray for them right now.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just come to you this evening. You know the situation we're dealing with. We all know who you are, Father. We don't doubt you. We've never doubted you, Father God. We're bringing this request to you this evening, and we're standing in faith together, Father God, that you will deliver. You'll deliver on time, and it will be better than we could ever imagine. We know it, Father. We know it's already on the way because you're in control of every one of your children's lives, Father God. We know that you have us in the palm of your hand and you have their future right there in front of you. And all you have to do is turn it to the left or to the right to make it work out for them better than they could have ever done it for themselves, Father God. So whatever this situation is, whatever they're facing, whatever's going on in the inside, internal and external, Father God, I ask you to bring something good out of this, Father, so that they'll have a testimony for it. Because I know that's the God that you are. You take something that looks confusing to us, and we can't understand it, but that's our trials of faith. That's how that you raise your children, for us to trust in you in those times, Father God. So I'm asking you right now, as we stand in faith, to let this be one of those times and let it be a wonderful testimony to my family, and let it just be a wonderful victory for you. And I just declare this in your name, and I know there's power in it. That's why I declare it, Father, because I know there's power in your name. You know me. You've weighed my heart, Father God. You know when I say I declare it that I mean it with everything in me, and I'm putting it to the test right now, Father God. And I'm saying let there be a testimony come out of this. Put your hand on it. Let it be your project. In Jesus' holy name, I just speak this into existence. Amen, amen.
Amen and amen. Give the Lord a hand, somebody. Amen. Take this microphone, Sophie, and all three of you go. Brother Larry, take the microphone back there. You're going to be praying, Brother Larry. I believe, brother, that this is what the Lord's saying. The Lord has a word of encouragement for somebody in here. And I believe that you have that word. Just take that microphone or whatever God tells you, speak it out. Unless you don't want to.
I hope you have the interpretation, brother. Ishadalaba katolaba sanda. Ishalabababababababa shandalaba sita. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen and amen. All right, take that microphone. Come up here, girls. I'm going to share this with you. Here's the interpretation. Here's what the Lord's saying. The Lord's saying, be encouraged, because not many days from now, this won't even seem like anything to you. Amen. It came on, now hear me, somebody, this is for somebody. It came on in a hurry, it came on in a flash, and it's going to go the same way. It's going to leave that way. And what you're going to learn is I'm the God of the Bible. And I look after my own. I will not fail you. I will not leave you. If that's for anybody in here, stand up. If nobody stood up, I'd say how does that work like that? I'm going to tell you. Thomas, you're new to a lot of this stuff, but that's just the way the Spirit of God works. It just works like that. Why did he tell you to give to that? Because, he spoke in tongues. Yeah, but he gave me the interpretation. Okay? And that's just the way life works. And now, I want you to take the microphone. You see these three people that are standing? You don't have to call them by name, but just say, there's four. This is what I want you to say, sweetie. I just want you to, you heard that some people just needed to be encouraged. Just say a word or two about that in Jesus' name, amen. You got these people standing up right here. Oh, let's give her some sound.
Dear Heavenly Father, whoever's standing up tonight, just give them that encouragement they need, Lord, in Jesus' name, pray, amen.
Amen. Now, okay, God bless you guys. You can sit down. And listen, I'm going to have Kelly, Pastor Kelly, would you come up here just for a moment? I'll tell you what I'm here to do. I'm here to stir up the spirit and to give the devil hell. Make no mistake about that. Amen. And I'm not afraid to speak out. If nobody would have got up for anything, the next service, if God had something for me to say, I would have said it. And those of you that know me, you know me. And I would. And Kelly, this is what I think God wants you to do. Take her microphone. Lay your hands on her. Now look at all of these girls. God wants to use these girls. You know what? He may want these girls to be pastors of churches too. Y'all may start churches and have a pastor in each one from here. And are we against men pastors? No. No, we're not. I'm just not against women pastors. And you can tell anybody that wants to argue with old bro A that that's where I feel. Tell them to bring their Bible. I'll bring my Bible. Because we're not going to tolerate anything but what's right in the Lord. You know what? The Lord doesn't put anybody down or make anybody feel bad about who they are. So Kelly, just for this time, just pray for her whatever the Lord shows you. And he's going to give you something to say to her about. And what it is God's developing these young people. He's making something out of them. And this is, I'm going to tell you something. Everybody, you remember this. It ain't easy to be up here. It ain't easy to be up there with these three girls do. And if you're observant, you know these are some special girls right here. Amen? Amen and amen. Kelly, pray something for her.
Amen. Father, I thank you for Kimber right now. And Lord, what you started in her, God, you're going to finish it. Lord, from even before she was born, you already knew who she was. You called her by name. You named her yourself. And so, God, I thank you right now, Lord, that she has divine favor. I just speak your divine everything, your will, your purpose, your favor, your direction, your guidance, every single bit of it. I just, a supernatural abundance coming out of this young woman's life. And Lord, I thank you, God, that she stands out, that people look at her as somebody that they want to be like. And God, I thank you for your absolute perfect will in her life. God, not your good will, not your pleasing, but God, your perfect will. I call that perfect will right on out, and I just speak it right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Now, before you go, Kimber, lay your hands on Sophie and Kelly. Whatever God tells you, tell her. And you know what? It's not a big one. It's just a simple thing. And if you, by faith, you speak that one little thing, and then he'll add to it. Go ahead. Just pray.
Amen. Lord, in Jesus' name, God, I ask right now that you would show Sophie who she is. Lord, in every type of way, God, in the areas where she's still trying to figure out who she is, God, in Jesus' name, any type of identity thief that's been in her life, God, that's tried to tell her anything that doesn't line up with your word, that doesn't line up with what you've said about her, Lord, I call her the head right now and not the tail. I call her above and not beneath. God, every lying thing that's been said in her ear to her, Lord, by anything, Lord, I just speak it gone right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you that you're showing her who she is. And God, there is no confusion about that whatsoever. And Lord, I speak that self-confidence into her life right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Now, I want Sophie to get on this side of Cortland, and you get on this side, and lay hands on her, and speak one more. You've got one more in you for this kid right here.
Lord, I thank you for our little Cortland. God, she's such a blessing. Lord, I thank you that you're developing her, God, and everything that you have for her, Lord, is coming about. Lord, there's not any type of hindrance. God, what you began in her, you're finishing, Lord, throughout her entire life. And God, I thank you for everything that you have for her. Lord, your favor that couldn't come from any other thing but you, God, I just thank you for that divine favor that's on her life. God, when she speaks, I thank you that people listen. Lord, that she has sound judgment. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Somebody give the Lord a hand. Now, see that? Kind of wiping her tear. See, I talked to her earlier today, and you hit on some things. Amen? Amen.
I'd like to say one thing. Yeah. When I walked through the door today, I just kept hearing the same thing over and over and over, and it was just very simple. No good thing is God going to withhold. No good thing. Sometimes we are like asking God, why are you withholding this from me? And it's because sometimes it's not time, number one, but sometimes what we think is going to be the good thing for us, we cannot see, but it's not. And if anybody came in here discouraged today, you know, God's not withholding anything good from his children. There's things that he's got in store for us we don't even know about, and they're the good things. But if you haven't gotten something that you're believing him for or whatever, God's not withholding good things from his children.
I want to say something. I get a witness that that's right. Does anybody feel like that could have been for you? Stand up if that's for you. Amen. Amen and amen. Yes. Look here, Jill, God isn't going to hold anything back from you. Sometimes we just get to feeling like that. We've been waiting and wondering. Look here, everybody that's standing up, that's for you. I get a witness to that in my heart, in my heart. So praise God, praise God. You all may be seated, and I want to say to this entire congregation, I'm here to teach you how to move in the Holy Ghost. What you do with it is up to you, but I'm going to tell you, The anointing that makes a person flow is taught. And every time I teach, I'm trying to teach you about the anointing. And it's caught. That means if these kids are standing next to me and I begin to minister, or Kelly or anybody, I'm teaching everybody in here how to move in the Holy Ghost. There ain't nothing better than that. Emmett Spencer used to say this. He said, man, he said, it's good to have a lot of good preaching. He said, I'd like to see something every once in a while. See, I'd like to see something every service. I was in a service with Emmett. He came to our church years ago in the 80s, about 1989. And we had a revival type service. And Emmett was the evangelist there. And he got me. And there was over 100 people there. You remember that when we was on the square there? There was, I want to say, about 130 people. And he got me. And he just did this with me. He just took me like this here. And he took me to this person, that person, all of those people, to 130 people. Something happened to me that night, Jill. I didn't know that was in me. Because when I opened my mouth, see, the devil doesn't want you to open your mouth. Because when you open your mouth, something's going to happen that's going to change somebody's life. Somebody's going to feel like they've been blessed. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to encourage people. Somebody say amen. Amen. Amen, amen and amen. Kelly, I want you to come up. I think there's one more thing I want you to do. And I want you to do with this young fellow right here. I love him so much. Can we? You don't have to do anything. Could Pastor Kelly just pray with you? Okay. Just pray whatever's on your heart. And take it to heart. I'm not doing this for my health or to fill up a service.
I just thank you for Braden right now. And yes. God, he's a precious, sweet young man. And Lord, right now, I just thank you. God, I just speak clarity into his life, God, in every single way. Lord, I thank you that you protect him. God, I ask for the best school year right now in Jesus' name. And once again, I call that clarity down. I just keep hearing clarity.
Thank
so, Lord,
you.
I call clarity down right now in the name of
yes.
Jesus. I thank you for that clear, sound mind, and I just thank you for your protection over his life in every way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you. Girls, just would you girls just sit up here? Each of you have a microphone. There's three mics right there. I don't know what God's going to do next. I'm going to try to go to this word. And we're going to start in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 in the King James translation of the Bible. Have we got that up there? Can we get that up there? Did I give you the list? I didn't. But I've got it here. One of you come over and get this. Let them do it. Let them do it the way God wants to do it. God's got reason for it. Well, what is the reason? I don't know. I love you, Cabrin. I'm sorry I forgot to give those to you. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, and I'm going to read that verse. And I've got one single thought that I want to bring forth here, but I'm going to use a couple of verses ahead of it, and we're just going to go from there, and we're just going to have a great word. And this is what the word says in the King James translation. Something magical happens. I dare you to try it when you bring your Bible. Something magical just happens. And if you don't have a Bible, let us know. We'll get you one. But see, when you take your Bible and you thumb through the pages of your Bible, that helps things. That absolutely and totally helps things. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, this message is about the adversary. the enemy of the body of Christ. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about. He's not wanting to have a date with you. He's not wanting to have tea and crumpets with you. He wants to ruin your life as much as he can. Why? Because he hates God. And because God loves you so much that John 3:16 says this, for God so loved the world. He didn't just love the world, bless God. God so loved the world that he gave. See, a true love is not what people can get. It's what people can get, but what they can give. And God loved this world so much that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, anybody that would believe on him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, I'm telling you what, that's enough to get you cheering for Jesus right there. If that's true, the creator of everything loved mankind so much that he gave his only begotten son that he could restore them from what happened in the Garden of Eden, what happened in the fall with Adam and Eve. So, And the thing is here, this is written to Christians now. I know what's funny? We're not supposed to be laid back and not worried about anything. You're just supposed to wake up and realize one thing. Satan's going to try to mess your life up today. He'll use people, circumstances, a broken car, a flat tire, a speeding ticket. You just got to be sober and vigilant. That means you got to be thinking straight, and you got to be vigilant. That word vigilant means you need to be looking, seeing. And if you'll look and pray to God, he'll show you. He'll show you exactly where the devil's going to try. He'll show you before it happens. You can get in tune and flow in the Holy Spirit, and you can see that. And what good is that? You can avoid it because of who you are. You know who you are? You're the person on this planet that has the name that's above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen? God wants you to be thinking that way when you wake up. Turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 and 27. We're staying in the King James translation. Ephesians chapter 4, and I'm going to a very special place. I've never preached this thought here. I heard it many years ago. It meant a lot to me. And verse 26 and 27 says this here. Let's see if I'm in the right place here. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Now look here, everybody. This is a message about the most wicked individual ever in the world. Neither give place to the devil. If you see a place in your life where he could get in there and cause you trouble, you zero that place out one way or another. You get rid of that place, either by a prayer or whatever you got to do. If there's something that you watch on TV, try not to watch that kind of stuff anymore. If there's some places you just shouldn't go, try not to go there anymore. If there's some people God doesn't want you to hang out with, try. I'm saying just try. For God's sake, at least try to do the right thing. Because if you get that, what's going to happen is blessings and peace and joy and direction from the Holy Spirit. Direction from the Holy Spirit can keep you from dying before your time or experiencing awful, awful things. And the Word says here, the key idea here is don't give no place for the devil in your life. How many of you can think about, there's places in my life right now I really need to don't give that. I don't need to have that open anymore. Anybody? Is that for nobody in here? I think, yeah, pray about it. Study on it. Thank you, Father. Neither give place to the devil. Don't give place. Don't give him a room. Don't give him a meeting area in your life. Don't say this place here, we can meet over here. You know, if we're not careful, we have these funny things that happen to us. We'll look at certain pictures. I see this in my mind. I don't want anybody to respond. I see people looking at certain pictures in books, and it messes them up. And you need to just close that and not look at that. And there's many, many, many other things. Don't give place to the devil. Don't give the devil a place that he can mess your life up, is what I'm saying. I'm being real plain so you understand exactly what I'm trying to say. Third place, James chapter 4 and verse 7. We're talking about the devil here, y'all. We're talking about what a problem he is. We're talking about how you deal with that problem. James chapter 4, and I'm going to be reading verse 7, and that verse says this: submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil. Now, there's one thing. You may not realize it because you just don't know about life somehow. A lot of people don't. But the devil is trying to get a hold of you. And at times he does get a hold of you. And you got to resist that. Or he tries to get you in a certain area, a certain place. And I'm not talking about a physical place. I'm talking about a place in your mind. I'm talking about a place in your life with personalities that are around you. Hey, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. See, first of all, you submit yourselves to God. Evan's at home with Nana and Papa. Every morning, we have devotion. It's not a Bible study. It ain't that long. It's just a devotion, for goodness sakes. This is what Evan said this morning. Father, into your hands, I commit my spirit. Listen, train up a child in the way they should go. That's exactly what I'm going to do. Resist the devil. How many of you realize what that means in your life? How many of you know when there's some resisting that needs to be done? How many of you understand what I'm trying to say? There's a time, Thomas, I'm going to tell you what. You're in the right place to learn some things about God that's going to help you and set you free in some areas of your life. Would you confess that there's areas of your life that you want to be free from some stuff? You're in the right place. I can tell you that. Resist. See, when do you resist? When you feel, when that situation comes, you know the devil's messing with you. At that time, just simply resist him. I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of the Lord. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I rebuke you, Satan. No, I'm not going to think that way. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to say that. I'm going to be slow to speak, slow to get angry, and quick to listen. I'm 72. I'm learning more. The older I get, I'm ashamed at how little I know compared to what I'm starting to learn. I don't know if it's just me, but it's just, I don't know what to say. But I'm going to tell you, this is what I've learned. At those times, when I know I'm in the company and under the attack of Satan, it's not time for me to give in. That's what he wants you to do. Oh, you won't die. No, the Lord knows it. If you take a bite, if you eat of that fruit, you're going to be smart like it. And all of a sudden, then it says she looked at it and she saw that it was beautiful and it looked like it was good to eat. See, it looked like something she wanted. And she ate. What happened? The Bible says their eyes were open. All of a sudden they looked at one another. They said, my God, we're naked. They couldn't see that before. And they took fig leaves and they covered themselves. And they hid themselves from God. We have a world right now that's hiding itself from God. And God's trying to lure them in the way he always did. One of the ways is with food. We feed so many people. We don't ask where they came from. We don't ask them where they're going. It's so good to see these girls when they can come. God bless you, girls. I'm so proud of these young people. I haven't met a lot of young people like this here. But the devil, there's times, you think about this word right now, Father, embed this word right in the hearts of people tonight, that when those times come, you know you're under the devil's working on you. That's the time for you to start resisting. Resisting. Resist the devil. If you resist the devil, he will flee from you. Why? because there's too many people that ain't resisting him. And why waste his time on somebody that's going to fight back, for God's sake? That's what you need to do. You're a believer, for goodness sake. You're a Holy Ghost believer in a Holy Ghost believing church. And you have no business being outdone by Satan. And you got to realize he's going to try to outdo you and hurt you. He comes to do three things according to John 10:10. The thief, help me with it now, comes to and destroy. Steal, kill, and destroy. Now that's true. Nothing's changed. It's the same from the beginning. There's not a whole lot of new stuff. And I want to go to the last place tonight. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. This is a very famous place in the Word where we talk about spiritual warfare. And I'm going to begin reading. You read with me either up there in your Bible. I'm telling you, I dare you to bring a Bible to here. I dare you to bring a Bible and start learning how to thumb through the pages of this Bible. Find out where Matthew, Luke, and John is. For God's sake, find out where the book of Micah is, like Kelly preached on Sunday. Find out where these books are. Find out how to find them. And see if that doesn't change your life. If you're born again, you were born again to fight the devil and to win. You're no longer a loser. You're a winner. And we're talking about spiritual warfare here in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren. See, that's finally. This is the last place I'm going to be. I thought that word finally just fit in right with what I wanted to say tonight. I'm not closing yet. I'm beginning to close. I have 12 minutes to close, so just follow with me. Finally, everybody say finally, my brethren. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord. Don't be strong in the world. Don't be strong in bad things. Don't be strong in the flesh. Don't be strong in things that you shouldn't be involved with. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Because God's power and God's might on the lips and in the heart of Christian people is greater than anything. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Verse 11 says this, and put on the whole armor of God. Let me tell you something. You don't need part of it, sweetheart. You need every dadgum bit of it. If you're going to make it through, you need everything that God has for you. And to be victorious, you know what goes, when you get yourself halfway straightened out, you know how many people you could help? God's let me help thousands of people. When I began to realize what it took to just be a son, just to be a daughter of the living God. Nothing else will replace what I'm sharing with you tonight. Put on the whole armor of God so that you'll be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. See, so before the day starts, you're putting on, that's what Millie and me and Evan do. We put on the whole armor of God. I start by committing, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. That means I want whatever you want. I don't want to go my way. I want to go your way, God. It's your way. Your way, Father, not the devil's way. I hate the devil. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the tactics, the nasty things that he does to people. He hurts them and finds a weakness and hurts them and hurts them and hurts them. Verse 12, for we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. I'm telling you, it ain't that person that you hate their guts. It ain't them. It's the devil. It's the devil. It ain't that person you're afraid of. No, it's the devil behind them. See, it's people. You know what? If God can use people, you must understand, the devil can use people. And according to the word of God, straight is the gate, narrow is the way, few there be that find it. See, there's a few of us. But broad is the way that leads to destruction. And the devil's got a lot more idiots that he can just inspire and direct to hurt you. You got to realize who the idiot is. God, show me who the idiots are. Show me the people that's going to try to mess my life up today, and help me. Help me, Father. Help me. Help me. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you might be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore. And then it talks about the first thing, and I'm going to end right there in just a second. Right now. Stand therefore, having your loins, that your waist, now hear me, girt about with truth. This whole message has been about the girdle of truth. Everywhere in your life that you go, that you have to deal with enemies, the devil, it's the girdle of truth. And this is what the devil will try to get us doing. Kelly brings it up all the time, and I agree, on Facebook. God-fearing people from one church to another just fighting against each other, trying to prove a point. What point? There ain't no point. No, when you started bickering and having hard feelings, that's the point. Satan won. Get out of that. Start again. You can't win fighting with anybody. So what do? You put on the girdle of truth. Now, what does that mean here? What am I saying to you? What is the girdle of truth? From my earliest remembrances of girdles, I don't know if they, do they still have them for ladies? The girdle of truth. You know what a girdle does? Look at me, everybody. The girdle holds you up. Am I right? Huh? The girdle holds you up. Let me tell you something. You don't have to hold up the truth. The girdle will take care of that. Instead of arguing and being like the world, the girdle of truth will hold you up. If you know that you know, and if you don't, you need to get that Bible a lot more than you've been getting it. And you need to find it. You need to find out to make that you're the right, you're in the right place of truth in a situation. And if you're in that right place, that's all you got to do. One thing about getting older that I like is you begin to realize maybe I don't need to just win every argument. But they're wrong, the devil will say. Don't matter. Why? Because of the girdle of truth. I'm gonna start this. You finish it. The truth will. That wasn't what I was looking for. That's it. I've taught that here for 35 years. Where you been? I love you, friend. I just don't get mad at me. I'm just teasing. On a bad day, I can't remember that myself. But I've been preaching here for 35 years, have I not? Those of you that have been, the truth will outlive a lie. Ever since you was knee-high to a jackrabbit. You remember hearing saying, me saying that? I want to tell you about that girl right there. She's been involved in all kinds of stuff, but she remembered it. You know why? And you know what? Let me tell you something, sweetie. If you can remember it, it can change your life. It can change your life. See the truth. Look here. People have misread you, and they're wrong. But the truth is, put your hand right here on my heart. The truth's going to outlive a lie, and there's a truth inside of you. And some of the things people have said and thought about you is wrong. It's not the truth. And you don't have to defend yourself to anybody. Amen. The truth is going to take care of you. The truth is going to outlive a lie. Amen. It doesn't say that in there. That says that in the book of Angelo. That is what I get out of everything I read about truth. It outlives a lie. So please don't look at don't be looking for that, Brenda. That's where I got that from. All this time, here she was 35 years ago. I wonder where that is in the Bible. That's my paraphrase of the thought about truth. And where do I get it from? The girdle of truth. See, the girdle was something on soldiers. It held them together. It held them up. Okay? It's made out of leather sometimes. Also used by women in that day that held them up and made them look skinnier than they really are. What's wrong with that? There have been many times I wish I could have a girdle. What I've done is lost a little bit of weight. But anyhow, it's the girdle of truth. You don't have to defend yourself anymore. You don't have to justify your existence and what you're doing. You three ain't never going to fit in. You know why? You fit into the kingdom of God. You're important to God. And don't let people that obviously don't have it try to tell what we do here. Amen? You know what I'm talking about? I'm not going to say any more than that. They're idiots. They don't know what they're talking about. We don't need to be mad. We need to pray for them and feel sorry for them, that the truth can get inside of them. Amen? Are you glad you came tonight, son? Amen. 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 How many enjoyed this fellow's preaching? Get used to it. He's preaching again soon. Amen? Amen and amen. I want you to make an altar where you are, or come to the altar.